This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. Shane Rosenthal is with us for the last half hour of this Monday afternoon's program. We're going to be talking about me-centered biblical interpretation. We've got two problems really going here. First, there is a rampant biblical illiteracy. You could go to the average church on Sunday morning, interview people as they walk out from church to their cars in the parking lot, ask them about any book of the Bible. Just pick one that's bound to be more familiar and ask them, have you read it and what's it about? And as our guest Shane Rosenthal often discovers when he does his Men on the Street interviews for the White Horse Inn, they don't know what the book is about. They might say, yes, I've read it, but I can't tell you what it's about. That's part of the problem. But the other problem, perhaps even more pervasive and more deeply seated and difficult to reverse, is how we are reading the Bible when we do read the Bible. Shane Rosenthal is producer of the White Horse Inn radio program. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Modern Reformation magazine titled Reflecting Upon Scripture, You're So Vain, You Probably Think This Text Is About You. Shane, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, good to be with you.
I love the analogy you draw here. You say we need a Copernican revolution in the way we read the Bible. What do you mean?
Well, as you may recall, some years ago, I wrote an article dealing with the Copernican revolution that John Dewey called for in the field of education. And that particular essay really sort of interacted with that long trajectory of me-centered educational curriculum. And I think there's a trend here that I'm sort of pulling the threads on, that sort of Deweyan, the child is the center in the classroom, is one signpost of a larger epidemic, I think, that we're dealing with in American culture today, and that is just plain old narcissism in all kinds of cultural areas. So one of the things that I walk through in the beginning of the article is I look at the effects of narcissism in our culture broadly, and I ask how that's affecting the way we think about Scripture, the way we think about worship, the way we think about tradition, but most of all, how it impacts the way we read the Bible. And so the Copernican revolution that I'm calling for, contra Dewey, is that we need to stop putting ourselves at the center of Scripture. The Bible's not about me. The Bible is about Jesus Christ and what he has done in history, and how there are implications for me in my life. But I think too many of us, especially the popular books these days, appear to be focusing on what the Bible can do for you, what God can do for you through this text. This text is primarily a self-improvement manual for you in your life.
How did we get to the point where Bible reading used to be about context, both the textual context, but also the historical context? I remember even in, I think it was probably my undergraduate work, the simple act of biblical interpretation began with who wrote it, when did they write it, who were they writing to, what was the occasion? All these kind of external historical roots for this text so that a good contextual understanding could be reached. How do we get from that to what does this text mean to you or to me and to my life?
I think it has to do with the loss of authority. If you think about how just Western culture has moved, say, from the time of the Reformation to the present, you sort of go from the classic Christian construction where there's a very strong hierarchical approach in culture and in the church to the Enlightenment, in which authorities are being challenged, where all the way down to the current era, where now we're sort of in the postmodern world where all authorities are being challenged. You don't really have a strong authoritarian model in the church. in the family, in the school. Remember what Dewey says, the child is the center, and the teacher sort of revolves around the child. And that loss of authority, so we don't have text above us. We don't have, there's a strong antipathy to history. And all those things sort of are in the background. It's sort of the operating system that we're given, and we have to sort of, you know, go into our operating system of the worldview that we're given and uncheck these particular default systems that we're given by the culture. If we're Christians, we need to say, no, we do need to give respect to history, tradition, scripture, all those things that our culture sort of goes against. So if we're not thinking critically about those things, that those default cultural assumptions, then we will look to the Bible not in terms of what it's originally saying in its historical context. And the classic distinction there, as you will learn, you know, you learned in seminary, I learned in seminary, is the distinction between exegesis and eisegesis, that you are interpreting a text in terms of what it's saying in its original context, what it's actually trying to say, versus what you're reading into the text. And that's something that I try to bring out in the article.
Talk about how this me-centered way of reading the Bible is sadly reinforced Sunday after Sunday in many churches by how the Bible is exposited, preached, how is it is presented, explained, what is sung, what is prayed, all of the elements of Sunday morning for many Christians.
Well, I think the basic approach is, does this particular text that I'm preaching today describe you and your situation? Here is God's word, and what does this mean to you? How does this affect you? And all of us predominantly think ethically. We think in terms of the law, and because of the law is imprinted on our conscience, we are bearers of the image of God. So we all have that shining in our consciousness when we read things in the scriptures that resonates with us. So we need something, some kind of framework for our life. All the world's religions have that, and that's why they're attractive to the world's human beings. Well, so that is our predominant bent. The gospel is a foreign language, a foreign tongue. It's not advice. It's not law. It's gospel. It's something that's been done. It's something that is a story about someone else. So if we're seeing the law, if we're seeing the Bible predominantly as things to be done, then I'm the central character. But if those things to be done are about the true Adam, the second Adam, the one who comes to perfectly fulfill the terms, then it's not about me. It's about that messianic figure. And so I think in terms of, I would say, over 90% of the sort of kinds of biblical expositors we have out there, Sunday by Sunday, I would say 90% make that crucial mistake that it's just about you and God. Here's the biblical text. What are you going to do with it? How is that going to change your life? There is an imperative in the text. We do have there are implications to the gospel, but the fundamental principle is that the Bible is about Christ, His story, and now in light of that, there are certain things that I need to do with my life and change my life. But still, ultimately, the story is about Him.
So the extremes of this. Would be somebody like Joel Osteen, who will just flat out, sometimes he didn't even reference the Bible at all. I mean, it just is about you, or about him, depending on what part of the sermon you're listening to. Aside from that extreme, is it equally dangerous in kind of the mainstream of pop American Christianity?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at someone like Joel Osteen, I mean, he's an obvious example, Become a Better You, and there are I think three biblical verses in that particular book. The book is actually, if you look at the opening of the cover, it says psychology self-help in terms of where it's designated by the Library of Congress. I think they got it right. And yet it's selling like hotcakes in Christian bookstores. That's just one example. I mean, if you look at the top best-selling books in the world of Christian publishing, there are all these kinds of books. How to have a successful life, having God's best for you in your business plan, and it's just applying biblical passages to you and your life situation. But the question is, how well are books about God doing in Christian bookstores, in Christian publishing? And so, if a book is going to be about God, it's going to be objective. It's going to be about who God is, what he's done. And you'll have books about the Trinity or the Atonement, but unfortunately, those books hardly even show up on the radar in terms of what's being sold. If you look in a Christian bookstore, it's very rare these days that you'll find one with a theology section with those kinds of books. And my argument is that I think many of us are bored with God. We're more interested in ourselves, and that is just one of the epidemics or the signs of the narcissism epidemic.
With only about 30 seconds, is this kind of the natural outcome of how many Christians have been taught they are to interact with their Bible? That is, just me and my Bible alone in my prayer closet.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it is a failure of teaching and discipleship. That distinction I mentioned earlier about exegesis and eisegesis, it sounds like the kind of thing you would hear in a seminary lecture somewhere, but not something that you're going to hear from a pastor discipling his sheep how to read the scriptures. But if you go to some of those classic books on how to interpret the Bible, they will all tell you that the Bible has been written in a historical context and can only be interpreted in the light of that history. The book of Corinthians was written to the Corinthians, an ancient group in ancient Greece, the ancient Greco-Roman world. So we have to understand what Paul was saying to the Corinthians, and then we can make some application to what that would mean secondarily to me. The first interpretation is to that original body. And so all those things that we find in the Corinthian letters about the braided hair or, the controversies regarding communion, the preaching of the gospel, all that stuff has to be considered first in terms of what it was meant to the original audience.
Shane Rosenthal is our guest. We'll be right back talking about me-centered biblical interpretation. But occasionally, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me.
We talk about your dreams and we talk about your schemes, your high school team and your moisturizer cream. This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
For Christ-centered, cross-focused worship and preaching, come to St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. This is Pastor Charles Henriksen inviting you to join us on Sunday mornings for divine service at 9 o'clock and Bible class at 10:15. St. Matthew's is located in the town of Bon Terre, about a half hour south of St. Louis. For more information, visit us online at stmatthewbt.org. That's stmatthewbt.org.
Proclaiming Christ, not the Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. You're so vain. You're so talking about Me Center Biblical Interpretation. Shane Rosenthal is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Shane is producer of the White Horse Inn radio program. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Modern Reformation magazine titled Reflecting Upon Scripture. You're so vain, you probably think this text is about you. You'll find a link to Modern Reformation magazine at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. So what do you think? Do you think that Christians' Bible reading and study preaching has become me-centered? 1-877-623-6943. Coming to you live this Monday afternoon, August the 23rd. 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Shane, you borrow and then coin a phrase, Sheelianity. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Walk us through this. Get us to a definition of what you're talking about here.
Sheelianity is, I'm playing off of Robert Bellah's study in his famous book, Habits of the Heart. He was a sociologist, and his team of sociologists sort of try and give us a landscape of religion and belief in American culture. And one of the fascinating interviews they came up with was this gal named Sheila, who said, I just have my own little belief. I call it Sheilaism. It's just that I want to be good to other people, treat myself well. And so they commented that must mean there's something like 220 million American religions, one for each one of us. That's a very common kind of New Age-ish of view, where there's no authority on the from the outside on an individual person. What I argue in the article is that there's something like that's affecting American Christianity. It's not a New Age sort of out there. The person who says I don't have any authority on me from the church or from tradition or the Bible, that's Sheilaism. I'm arguing that there's something going on in the church called Sheilianity, and it's kind of a hybrid, and that is people who go to church, they read their Bibles, but they come to the same conclusion that Sheila in the Bellah study came to, that just love yourself, be good, become a better you, all those things. But they get there not by ignoring Scripture, but in their reading of it. And I argue that's because we're reading the Bible in narcissistic ways, seeing ourselves, putting ourselves at the center, how God's talking to me in this sacred love letter.
So whereas Sheila of that famous study just listened to her little inner voice.
Right.
And that was her authority, and that kind of guided her along and reassured her. The many Christians today, their little inner voice is the Bible. And it's still saying all the same things Sheila's little voice is saying. It's really all about you. You're kind of the center of the universe when it comes down to it.
Right, right. And if the Bible is my coach, the Bible sort of directs me. But as I read it, in a fortune cookie way. Here's something for me today. And it's out of context, and I'm not all that interested in history. I ran across, for example, an audio Bible. Very well read. I was shopping around for audio Bibles, and I found one that's very well read with good readers, no music, none of the sappy music in the background. But the introductions to the books are really quite pitiful. So one said it was an introduction to the book of Ezra, and it said, "Who are you? I'm a guitar player. I'm an accountant. I'm a student." And this is the most important question in the book of Ezra. But it didn't at all tell me anything about the historical circumstances that we can profit from by understanding about the Babylonian captivity. I mean, Ezra is written at the time when the Babylonian captivity is coming to an end, and they're starting to come back and rebuild Jerusalem. None of that is there. That history is just totally ignored. And the person who's introducing us to this book of the Bible is only focusing on the reader's experience. Guitar playing, though, has nothing to do with the book of Ezra, but that's the way I think we're sort of titillating and teasing people today. What's the line that Paul uses? By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of naive people. We're flattering people into their own positions, and so they're reading the Bible thinking that they're really profiting from Bible study, but when they're really only stoking the flames of their own inherent narcissism.
Joe is listening in his car. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Todd. I guess what I'm about to say could qualify as narcissistic, but I've learned through Lutheranism that it is about me in a sense. I look at the law and I see what the law tells me about myself. I look at the gospel, or look for the gospel even, and see what the text tells me that Christ has done for me. And if I don't, I mean, I have to look at it that way, or I'll be without hope. So,
Joe, thank you very much. Fine distinction here. That is a Bible that talks about me or Jesus for me. Make that distinction, if you would, Shane.
Well, I think that the basic way I would like to frame it is that Jesus Christ is the major subject of Scripture, not myself. So the Ten Commandments even are not primarily a roadmap for me to climb, not a ladder for me to climb up to heaven. It's a ladder that Jesus climbed down. He fulfills the law and takes the curse on himself in his sacrificial death. So he's the major subject. He's the one who it all revolves around. He's the shadows that became clear in the New Testament, scarlet thread of redemption. Now I can read that those promises about Jesus do have application to me. I am one who gets invited to be in that story, but the story is still about him, and I am a minor. I play a minor role in that larger, in terms of comparing it with his larger role.
Here's the big question about me-centered biblical interpretation, especially as it is found in the preaching and the message of big-box Christianity. Can the average big-box church that is preaching the Christian rather than the Christ, can it survive a Copernican revolution where the individual Christian is supplanted from the center of the theological universe and Christ restored to the center of gravity of the Bible and all of our theology?
Well, it's a tough question to answer, but I think that any body that is faithful to the Scriptures, that is looking to do faithful work in ministry and discipleship, must confront that and must work through those issues. It may be that there will be like in John 6, many of the people were looking to Jesus because they were hungry and they wanted an interesting teacher with a nice free meal attached to it, and the hard teachings came, and lots of them left. And it may be that if we stop promoting a sort of narcissistic, me-centered message, we may see a shrinkage in numbers, but we may see also an increase in more robust disciples. One of the things I found in my own polls earlier in the year, I asked some of the people at a Christian Bible college in Los Angeles area if they had ever read the book of Galatians, and only 2 out of the 12 people that I interviewed that particular day had a basic understanding of what that particular book was about. And this is a Bible college where people are specializing in, you would think, biblical literature. And most of the people there could not tell me, I think the numbers came out to something like 17% could tell me what the basic message of that book were about. Most of the people, when they tried to tell me what the book was about, the book of Galatians, one of the key texts in Scripture about justification and grace and confusing law and gospel, that particular text, I think most people said, well, it's about God and you and doing your best and, helping you live your life. And when I asked people, why do you think you're unprepared to, some people would just outright say, I don't have any idea, I can't remember. I would ask them, why do you think you're unprepared to give an answer of what that book's about being in a Bible college? And most of them would say, well, I think it's because a lot of the churches today, it's pretty shallow. And they're spending a lot of time teaching me about, living life in today's world.
Shane Rosenthal is producer of the White Horse Inn radio program, author of an article in the latest issue of Modern Reformation magazine titled Reflecting Upon Scripture. You're so vain, you probably think this text is about you. Shane, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd, for having me, Todd. Good to be with you.
Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for August is a good example of how the Bible is interpreted, not in light of the Christian, but in light of the Christ, with Christ, as Shane said, the major subject of Scripture, page after page, chapter after chapter, book after book. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is Luther's Works, Volume 69, a brand new English edition of never before translated into English sermons on John chapter 17 through 20, if I'm not mistaken. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August at our website, issuesetc.org. Just click the book cover. You'll see everything you need to know. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order Luther's Works, Volume 69 in English. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Craig Hazen of Biola University review Philip Pullman's latest book. It's called The Good Man Jesus and the Scoundrel Christ. Then on Wednesday this week, we'll discuss Stupid Church Tricks. Dr. Gene Edward Veith of Patrick Henry College will be our guest. It's a tyranny. It's a terrible tyranny to open your Bible every day and think, how is this relevant to me? What does this say about me? Don't live under that tyranny. Let the Bible speak to you of Christ and what he has done for you in his life, his death, and his resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.